You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey Josh, what's your favorite summertime activity? Mine is swimming.
I like swimming, but I'd rather be sailing.
Oh, I love that song.
What's that from?
And welcome back to another episode of What's That From? A podcast exploring musicals that we don't know, but probably should. I'm Kate.
And I'm Josh. And this week, our musical is A New Brain.
Ooh, episode 10, double digits now. We're really out here.
Doing it.
A New Brain, a new year, same podcast.
You can't beat MAME.
You can't beat MAME. But happy new year.
I liked this show.
I loved this show. And I think to kick us off, I do still think we have a little thing we have to do, Josh. Don't think I've forgotten. 30-second plot challenge is up to you, my friend.
I know it's my turn.
Were you trying to avoid it? I could see you like trying to move along.
You know, if you breezed over it, I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay. Okay. New year, same 30-second plot challenge. I have my timer out, so I'm ready when you are.
I'm ready.
Okay, ready? Go.
A songwriter who's writing songs for a kid's TV show is unhappy with his life. He ends up like falling out and then ending up in the hospital. He has a brain issue. That means he's going to have surgery. He's going to like risk his life. And then he starts to confront all of his life issues, like his dad, his boyfriend, his mom, random people in the hospital. It's just like little vignettes of all these people in his past. And then he struggles with life and death. And by the end of it comes around to face his fear and write the song that he's always been wanting to write.
Wow, that was great.
I feel like I got there.
Yeah, I feel like you really did. And you covered a lot more. I feel like mine would have just been like, guy has brain problem, gets surgery, but lives. Like, you were like, you really brought in the good details. Like, you covered a lot of it.
Well, he goes on like a big journey.
He really does. But it's interesting because I feel like he goes on a journey, but actually goes nowhere.
I know, they're in that like hospital room the whole time.
Yeah, and I think that the way that they kind of like explore that, I think it is so true. Like, you know, I feel like there is such a myth, like mystery behind people in a coma, people with brain issues, people having surgery, people, all these like crazy things. And like, I feel like it is like all this crazy chaotic energy with such a stable, like tiny room with four walls, white beeping noises, like that's it. But right. Like so much goes on.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, A New Brain, an incredible show. Obviously, yeah. We're both fans. So
I'm exposing myself because I sang And They're Off for my college auditions. And I sing I'd Rather Be Sailing for maybe every audition. And I knew the general plot of the show. But this time around, like, I was really, really shocked at the whole plot of it, like, or just like the whole journey the show goes on. Then I am a big William Finn fan. I really like his music, like falsetto, like yeah. Incredible. And I didn't realize this show was so much like that, the way it's sung through, similar pattery. I mean, he has like his style, you know,
right?
I thought, I don't know, I was really surprised by how much I was a big fan of it.
Yes, I was looking at people's comments on like YouTube and stuff on different videos, and everyone's like, why is this man so good at writing a sad gay musical?
Yeah, literally.
I was like, okay, but this one doesn't end sad at least, so that's good.
That is true.
For a little bit, though, I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah, but I thought, I mean, the music is, it hits that musical theater sweet spot.
Yeah, it does. And it also doesn't feel very dated. Like, it feels really contemporary when you listen to it.
I agree. I will say, did you listen to the recording with Jonathan Groff?
I did. I listened to the one that Jason Robert Brown did the orchestration for.
Yeah. That's what I, because I'm wondering if that's also why it sounds more current.
Yeah, true.
But that production, yeah. Amazing. The voices in that recording, butter.
Yeah, Jonathan Groff is so good.
so good.
Yeah.
Just absolutely unreal. And then also James Lapine also was a writer on this.
Right. They were frequent collaborators. Well, I mean, James Lapine like worked with everybody, but he worked with William Fenn a lot.
Yeah. And I also thought it was super interesting that the show is actually like kind of like autobiographical.
Yeah, because he had a really serious brain issue. I think they found out about it like after Falsettos won the Tony Award. It was like at a high point in his life, this like big thing happened in his career. And he wrote a lot of the songs for the show in the time after he was discharged from the hospital, after he was dealing with his issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, it's interesting. I've seen like some mixed reviews about it. I watched it, really liked it. I thought it was like pretty, like, I thought it flowed well and whatnot. But there was some people that were like, I could tell that he wrote some of the songs like, and then tried to put like a story to it kind of thing. Cause he did write the songs, like literally he wrote them for himself out of like when he was literally coming out of the hospital. Yeah. So obviously like, it wasn't like, I'm ready to produce this major show. Like it was just like a series of like creativity.
Right.
Like, so I think, that some people like complained about that, mainly like Ben Brantley about the original production, which like, are we surprised? Not really.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like watching it, I thought it made sense.
I could see how people would not like it. Like it is kind of strange. It is not like your typical like Broadway musical plot, not at all. And the music is kind of jarring to certain people's ears. I would see like why, I mean, how it could be. But for me, I love it. I just thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it is. It's definitely like a niche musical.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It kind of gave me like Next to Normal vibes.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, because I was like all these people, like all these doctors singing and like random. I'm like all this hallucination stuff was really hitting me with the Next to Normal vibes.
I totally see that. Honestly, some of the songs near the end or some of the slow songs gave me like Spring Awakening feels. I think it was just Jonathan Groff and the way he was singing it, at least in Spring Awakening. But I don't, I mean, one of the song's titles is something about spring in it. And I guess that's what I was talking about. But the way it kind of sounded like one of those kind of rock musicals at times, which I like the elements he does between like rock musical theater and like very musical theater, cheesy musical theater-y sounds.
Yes, I think he does a really, really good job with this show of teetering between like poking fun at life. Like it balances really well. I feel like the sorrows and hardships of literally just being a human, but also like the hope and the, I don't know, like redemption that there is like after like getting through something that's so hard. And I think that that's kind of hard to do because it like, I feel like this musical is equally like depressing, but also enlightening.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah, like, no. I feel like for like a little bit of maybe more of the plot than not, like he is the main character is literally like, I am dying. Like Gordon is like, I'm done. Like I'm not going to live. But then, like, at the end, like, you see him, like, have a completely new zest for life. And I think, like, seeing someone go through something like that is really cool.
It is really cool. Watching him get his new brain, like, his new mindset by the end of it.
I know. I was like, that's, like, really profound.
Yeah.
Or, like, even when, so when he gets the surgery and he's in a coma, that he doesn't wake up right away. So, of course, everyone's like, well, this is the end. Like, this is not going to work. And towards the end of the show, he goes through a series of like it's like him in a coma talking to like people from his past, talking to like his writing partner, right? The guy who's like dressed like a frog. You know what I'm talking about? The guy who's writing the children's show. He's like this like weird, kind of like the antagonist. I feel like he's like the negative voice in his head just being like, you're not doing good enough. But even like a series of songs that towards the end, when he's in a coma, like the frog guy is like, you got to get back out there. Like you're not done yet. And I thought that was so cool. I'm like, wow. I like wonder if that's what it's like to be in a coma and be like, I'll just be like, no, you got to go back. It's which is honestly, maybe I'm feeling this way because I literally just watched Disney's Soul. Have you watched that?
I need to watch it.
Well, there's something similar that happens in that. And I think I'm just getting tripped out about like people in a coma. I'm like, what's it like when you like come back? Like, is someone just like, you're not done. Go back. Like,
I know it's a definitely a crazy concept to tackle while watching a musical, but I think they do it in a really fun way.
Yeah. So, okay, wait, I wanna go back to you singing I'd Rather Be Sailing, but also singing And They're Off, because those are, it's so interesting because in the beginning, I really didn't like the boyfriend character, the I'd Rather Be Sailing guy, because that song's actually kind of an asshole song.
Yeah. He does not want to be there with his boyfriend who's dying.
I was like, wait, what? Like, I feel like I'd heard that song too. And I was like, no, that's such a pretty song. And now I'm like, wait, what? So you like sang both sides of the equation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Cause they're like really opposite characters. I feel like.
For me, William Finn writes really good songs for baritones. So I had to choose both.
It's as simple as that, folks. You heard it here first. If you're a baritone, run. Don't walk to a new brain.
Literally.
Yeah, but so that relationship. So, I mean, so Gordon is the one with the brain in injury, and then Roger is his boyfriend. Which, am I wrong? Is there a character in Falsettos named Roger? I feel like there. Maybe it's just because Christian Borle was singing in both of them, and I was like kind of getting confused.
It's Whizzer.
Oh, but I feel like there's a rot. Okay, maybe not. Anyway. They're like, I feel like that relationship is really interesting too, like to look at throughout the show. I was like, I don't think I like these guys. But then by the end, I was like, oh,
happy.
Okay. I support them.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that?
Yeah. Definitely an odd relationship.
Yeah. I was like, this guy's like literally about to get his whole skull cut open and you'd rather be sailing.
And then he's like, oh, let's spend the night together. A few seconds later, he's like, never mind. Get away from me.
And well, because, and okay, you know, I also think a main part of this plot too, and I think it's also really cool that this is a little bit autobiographical, because I do think this is a pretty vulnerable stance to take, like for William Finn. But when he was like, you know, I thought I had this brain thing, like I had this brain problem, and I thought that there was going to be a whole bunch of songs that I was never going to be able to write. So I think it's like this fear that like your life is going to end and you're like, there's all this stuff I haven't done. Like in my brain, like I have all this stuff that I need to put out there. And so I think that's the thing too. Cause when the boyfriend was like, I'm going to spend the night, he was like, wait, but I want to write a song. I was like, okay. But he was like, if I die tomorrow, like I want a song that people are going to remember me by. I was like, wow, that's like so.
It is deep, like when an artist dies.
It's deep. Yeah, I was like, I wonder if this is like, I don't know, because it is funny, it pokes fun, and you know, there's like different nurses that he's like, get all these different personalities, and all these like crazy, like there's a crazy priest, there's all this chaos that ensues, but I wonder if the part of this was like super vulnerable to write.
I know, I don't, I've never actually seen any interviews of William Finn, or I'd love to like hear him discuss this.
Yeah.
It's a fun way of storytelling. Like, it's not like a conventional, like wait function of a musical. It's like the format of it is different, which is fun.
Yeah, I kind of like that, like altered reality, like sung through patter song, and also like he has a way of making everything sound peppy, even when they're talking about something that's really upsetting.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So I feel like it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh my gosh, is it kind of like in The Full Monty, when they sing like the big ass rock song, and you're like, this is such a silly song. And then like you find out they're singing about suicide and you're like, oh, what?
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of what this musical does too. Like I would just kind of be like, oh, like this is a nice song. And then they'd be like, oh, well, it's about my dad abandoning my family because he bet on a horse and then lost our whole family's fortune. I'm like, oh, right. Yikes.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. The peppy turns to upsetty.
But maybe it's just a big metaphor for musical theater, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone peppy, but then sometimes they upsetty, but they still act peppy.
the Broadway, not off Broadway. This wasn't on Broadway.
No, this was not on Broadway. It always had a life off Broadway, which I think is fitting. I think it would be weird on Broadway. I feel like they tried to make like something crazy out of like, they, you just need like a hospital bed and a bed gown and like people in clothes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A production number in this would make me upset, I think.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I'd be curious how this would work as like a movie.
Yeah.
Or like they should make it into a Netflix movie with Jonathan Groff.
I agree. I think that'd be so cool. Especially because you could go into the different worlds he's experiencing.
Yeah. Ryan Murphy.
Oh, get him on the phone. Wow, that is true. I feel like it would be a really good movie. Cool. Either off Broadway or a movie. No Broadway, though.
No Broadway.
Skip Broadway. So this show was off Broadway in 1998. So it's really not that old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like 1 year younger than me. It's like 22 years old. Cool. So then, it was an encore show in 2015, which is the one that we're mostly talking about, the one with Jonathan Groff. Just because that man's voice is just, it's, if I can listen to that man's voice, I will choose to listen to that man's voice. And if there's a recording with him, like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I think, and I also think it's kind of funny because, like, I feel like things that are in encores are, like, I always associate encores with things that are from, like, way long ago. So I feel like for something to be in encores that was, like, really not that long ago, I'm like, oh.
I think they also like to favor shows or favor choosing shows that were unappreciated the first time around.
You know, okay.
In a new light.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like ones that they feel like kind of like got slided. I also think it's cool that the New York City Center one was directed by Lapine.
Yeah.
Which I also think is neat, because I guess that's a perk of doing a show that's not that old, is like the writers are obviously still like alive.
I know, and I read that they made edits too. They changed a few things.
Yeah, which I think, and okay, so I know I already quoted Ben Brantley, but I read both of his reviews, like the one for the 1998 one and the one for the revival, and he, or like the encores one, and he did like the encores one better. Not that that matters, but yeah. he said that like the rewrites they did were like made a lot of sense, and like things that like he didn't understand in the first one in 1998, like seeing the encores one, he was like, whoa, I literally don't even remember that happening in the 1998 one. So I think that that's cool that they like did a good job of rewriting and revising.
Definitely. I read that Graziella Danielle directed and choreographed the original one, which is kind of cool. She's kind of an icon.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting that she directed that, because I feel like she mostly leans towards dance heavy or things that involve dance as like an intricate part of the storytelling. So I was surprised to see that she did this, but I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like this, I don't know, I think this show is like kind of a hidden gem. You know, like if you're like looking to do something from falsettos, like put the book down and open up a new brain, because like I feel like it's not as well known.
Yeah.
But maybe it is if you sang two songs from it.
Maybe my voice teacher is just not.
Oh. I also think like the that Change song is a really good song too.
Yeah, what's your favorite song?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, I was like, oh my god, my favorite song. I think my favorite song is the one, wait, let me see if I can, what's the name of it? It's like the one where I think it's the maybe Gordo's Law of Genetics or like the family history one where they're all talking about how like the bad traits are the one that you end up getting.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved that one. I thought that was so funny.
I loved that one a lot.
Yeah.
It's so hard because the whole thing's sung through. So I have like three different sung through scenes that I like as my favorite songs. So like I liked Brain Dead. I thought that one was interesting. That's the one with the tango, right? I think so,
yes.
Yeah.
That's when he's in a coma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I liked the whole time sequence at the end into the whole last section of it. Because he used the Anytime theme, the song from Anytime. It's from Elegies, from one of the song cycles. But he uses that theme in this show. I was like, oh, that's cool. Kind of like putting another song of his into the show. I thought that was interesting. But and then my other favorites are, and they're often, I'd Rather Be Sailing, because I do like them.
They hold a special place in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that so this musical, if you are gonna listen to it, you really do need to allot out like 2 hours of time. It's really long.
Long.
Like when I was listening to it, I like did 17 different activities. Like I was like, the album must have already played through twice. And like I was literally 3/4 of the way done. Like it's a long one. So you do kind of have to buckle your seatbelt because it's long, but it's worth it, I think. Like if you were to buy this during the time of CDs, it'd be a 2-disc feature. It'd be like a Les Mis Act 1, Act 2. Like you would really have to pop in a new disc because it is long.
Yeah. You could go sailing and back and it's still going.
Yeah, literally a new disc, a new brain, 2-disc set. This is how it would have to be. Yeah, but there are so many good songs. But yeah, I think those are some of the best ones.
Yeah, maybe the CD would actually be a highlights CD and not, you know, like they do those highlights where it's just like the iconic songs. I feel like you could do a highlights of a New Brain soundtrack.
And it would still be like 15 songs. The unsung hero of a New Brain hot take is the guy nurse.
Yep.
Who sings the like poor, unsuccessful, and fat song. And like the you boys are going to get me in such trouble song.
Yeah, stand out.
Yeah, stand out. I was like, this man, every time he sings a song, I was laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this man has the power. The power to steal a new brain.
I agree.
Yeah, so next time you're auditioning for a new brain and you really want to go for that main role, I would suggest maybe you look at that male nurse role because he is funny as heck.
I agree. I'm like really curious to see this live. I really want to see it on stage.
Yeah, I agree. Just so we end every episode saying a revival.
Revive a New Brain with Jonathan Groff on Netflix, directed by Ryan Murphy. Every episode I end it by saying, let's make a movie out of it, directed by Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy, if you're ever listening to this.
Mame, Meryl Streep. Don't forget about that one.
Mame, you can't beat Mame. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, this podcast continues to bring me so much joy learning about all these new shows. I hope that it's bringing other people as much joy as it brings me, because some of these shows I'm like, okay, who is this? What? Yeah. And then at the end I'm like, wow, like now I'm gonna like listen to a New Brain and like
know about it. Yeah,
that's so cool.
I know, it's so much fun when like you've listened to a song for so many times, so long, and you really didn't know what it was about. There's so many of those musical theater songs that everybody knows that you really don't know, but you know the song, so you think you know it. And then once you finally learn, or you do the show that it's from, and you're like, oh, listening to it thereafter is always a different experience.
I know. I just feel so in the know. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this old song?
Yeah.
Oh. Let me tell you about this one. So what would you rate A New Brain, Josh?
I give it a 9 out of 10. I've been thinking about it all day, and I was like, you know, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Is that the highest you've given so far?
Yes.
Wow.
That's my favorite that we've done so far.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is so exciting.
Yeah, 9. I'm ready to get the perfect 10.
Wow, I'm like, that's, I mean, this is big, you guys. Josh Keen, musical theater enthusiast out here giving a 9 out of 10 to A New Brain. I'm not saying you have to listen to it, but I'm saying you have to listen.
It's worth it. It's a journey. I would say like you can listen to it while you're doing other things, but I kind of just sat around and listened to it and didn't do much anything else. And it's kind of fun to like go into the journey of this show.
I agree. And it's like kind of meditative. And like they all have really distinct voices, so I could really easily tell who was singing.
I agree.
And it's all sung through, so like you never don't know what's going on. Like I was like, I know exactly what's going on because they're saying literally everything.
Right.
Yeah, I would definitely, I would give it like, yeah, I feel like an 8.5 out of 10. I loved it. If you're new listening, welcome. If you're back, thanks for rejoining. And
we're happy to have you.
Yeah, this is your sign to add A New Brain to your listen list, to your playlist. Listen list.
Your listen list.
Playlist is the correct term. Your favorite podcast host and your favorite DJs.
So check us out on Instagram at WTF_Bway. That is WTF_Bway.
And join us next week for a new musical. We'll reveal it, like always, on a Musical Reveal Monday. And keep an eye out on our Instagram. We're going to be doing some fun little features, some new little social media games. So get ready. Buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be a wild 2021.
And if you have a friend that loves musical theater also, why don't you just send them our profile?
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.